Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And what a good weekend. We got a lot of stuff to talk about between the Astros, and the Astros deserve the lead, winning 2 out of 3 in Yankee Stadium. Who's their daddy? Man, Altuve again homers in the first inning and gives the Astros the lead after the Boo Birds come raining down on him. It just is, he's amazing. He goes to Yankee Stadium, and he just loves it. And I love that Yankee fans are so frustrated with Jose Altuve and just so stupid to keep on booing him. Him and Dodger fans, they don't learn. They just don't get it. Don't antagonize that man. That man will destroy your life. And he did it again Friday and then yesterday. And in his first at bat, he homers in Yankee Stadium, and then in his first at bat yesterday again. Holy crap! How good is that? And the Astros are home. Carlos Correa's debut in Daikin Park as an Astro again, and what boy? Talk about dude coming through since he's been an Astro. You know, I was a little bit worried. I hope Carlos does well. If he doesn't do well, man, it sure would be nice if he started at Daikin. So, you know, like Clyde Drexler walked in 95 and the place just went nuts. You know, well, the place is going to go nuts because Carlos, what a road trip he had for this team. Holy crap. He just is hitting another homer yesterday. He is on fire. And just looking great at the plate. And what an acquisition. You got him and Bregman coming back for the first time. Well, Bregman coming back for his first time. Carlos has been there, but the first time as an Astro again. So that's going to be a fun night tonight. I would imagine they've sold more tickets to welcome Carlos back tonight at Daikin Park. Big, great weekend. I'll tell you this, though, Lance. I'm done with Brian King in big situations.
Yeah, the tale of Brian King has been much different. The beginning of the season
was so good.
First half of the season and second half of the season just completely different. And he's getting to the point where you kind of have to start believing what he's telling you. And we got lots to talk about, a lot to get through. So Brian King will be one of the things. I mean, you've got so many arms coming back now that I think you can potentially manage. To get away from him, he is not the same pitcher that you saw early on. He's more this is the pitcher you see where he's more consistently having issues. Carlos Correa, he didn't have a hit in his first game with the Astros. He was 0-for-4. He's had a hit in every game since then, and not just a hit. He's had multiple hit games every single time out, other than twice when he had single hits. He was 0-for-4. Then he went. He had two hits, one hit, two hits, three hits, two hits, two hits, two hits. He's hitting well over 400 since joining the Astros. Carlos has been everything you wanted. 4 straight games with an RBI, 6 of the last 7 games with an RBI. And then you mentioned Jose Altuve. I mean, Jose Altuve, consecutive days with home runs. And you know that in Yankee Stadium, there's a lot of fans saying shut up to other fans. I've seen it online. Like, yeah. Yankee fans want other Yankee fans to shut up. And I will say, I don't know that there's booing. I don't know that it's as lustful as it once was. I don't know if there's as many F. Altuves. I think there's a lot of Yankees fans who now realize we got to really be quiet. Because at this point, Jose Altuve is 100% at least what what Albert Pujols was to us, and I think it's even worse. It's more like Steph Curry now. Altuve's the Steph. He is what to Yankees what Steph Curry is to the Rockets.
Yeah,
where you just know it's just probably going to end badly for you with this guy.
And going into this weekend, it was Astros Yankees in the postseason. So we'll see. Although that postseason is starting to look a little hairy now with Seattle playing the way that they are, just a half game back now. You had to win yesterday because Seattle continues to win.
It's crazy. How are you just won two or three from the Yankees. How are you barely ahead of them?
And lost a game in the process.
Yeah.
You won two of the three from the Yankees and lost a game. Well, this is a tough stretch for the Astros with the this stretch that they're on right now. They've had it pretty easy, and unfortunately, they don't take care of it. They don't take advantage of the easy games. They lose to those teams. They struggle against the bad teams and play great against the good teams. It's amazing. Worried about Fromber. He doesn't worry his last couple of outings. You know, Hunter had a blip where he had a couple of games where he wasn't very good, and he got it back on Friday night, and he looked really, really good, and the Astros took care of that business. Fromber's in the middle of that. He might be, a dog day kind of thing where he's just not that same guy. 5 2/3, he gave up 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 strikeout, and 4 walks.
Mm-hmm. That's extremely rare.
That's not what we're looking for. That's not our Fromber.
No, and it's just 2 games in a row. But yep. That's what Hunter had.
Hunter had the same thing.
It was fine other than that, but these last two have been, 11 2/3, 15 hits, 9 earned runs. No home runs either. So it's not like he's getting beat by, in the past we've seen Fromber beaten by walks and in home runs where he ends up giving up a 3-spot here, a 3-run home run because he's, walked and tried to get too fine with some of his pitches, didn't want to give in to a hitter and ended up walking guys, and he gets hurt by a 3-run homer. It doesn't happen a lot where he gives up 3-run homers, but he's not even giving up a home run the last 2 outings. They're just hitting him. Hitting him, and he's got 5 walks to the 4 strikeouts, as you mentioned. I mean, previously in July, he had 4 starts in July. Strikeout numbers are 7, 10, 4, 12. So far, he's got 3-1 strikeout in his games in August, so... Yeah, he may be fatiguing a little bit. You don't know.
If the playoffs started today, Jason Alexander is your game 1 starter.
I'm gonna tell you what now. Jason Alexander's stuff is good.
Yeah.
This isn't just a Brian King situation where, man, I'm trying to figure out how Brian King's getting all these guys out early in the season. Jason Alexander's sinker and off speed pitch his changeup is good. He was dumping them in the bottom of the zone. Now the umpiring was really beneficial to the Astros yesterday. Holy crap.
Got that low strike.
And then what about the one where it should have been strike 3?
Oh.
It should have been ball 4.
Cam Smith.
No, it should have been strike 3 on Cam, yeah. And then he ends up sticking one down the line, and I'm like, ooh, we got 2 lucky ones there.
I thank you for that.
Yeah, so.
I thank you for that.
But I thought Jason Alexander was, man, he just was dropping the bottom out of everything yesterday. Oh. Everything. It was perfect. He looked really good. Like maybe needs to be fighting for a 5th starter role. He's basically out of luck now because Christian Javier is back today. Spencer Arrigetti. So we're going to have Javier and Hunter Brown and Arrigetti are going to be your 3 guys going this for the next 3. You can't be more excited. Well, you can be that if Christian Javier comes out and has a good performance. Luis Garcia is right around the corner. Do the math on this. There's no room for McCullers when he gets back, if he ever comes back. Jason Alexander, blue ball threw 6 innings of shutout ball yesterday in Sugar Land. They got to really take a big look at this, John, and forget what you already know. If blue ball needs to be up with the big squad as the season rolls on, bring his ass up and let him get some of those, 2-inning appearances. If Jason Alexander's stuff is as good as it was yesterday, then he needs to be getting some, they need to be considering him in the bullpen some. And we don't even know. We got to see how Arrigetti does. We got to see how Christian Javier does. It's no lock that they come in and pitch lights out. It is going to be a tough call, though, because if they're not doing good, John, do you pull the plug on them for the year? I feel like the Astros are like ride or die with these guys.
So Jason Alexander has had 10 outings with the Astros this year. In two, he's given up 23 earned runs. In two of them, he gave up 14.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Dodgers, he gave up 9. And against the Athletics, he gave up 5.
He's been lights out other than that.
He's been incredibly good.
The movement, I'm telling you, his stuff is major league stuff, it looks like. At least where he was, his placement over the last, like, three have been really good.
Yeah. I mean, you take those two out, not that you can because they happen, but, boy, I don't know. He's like the J.P. France. You're like, where did this come from? And, by the way, J.P. France is looking good, too, on his rehabs. So this is another guy that's coming up. Listen, you cannot come back. No one has ever come back from a blister. So it's impossible. I mean, that's like a year and a half or 2 year thing if you get a blister. Mm. You're not going to be able to come back.
That's
so
tough action, yeah.
I don't think you have to worry about Lance McCullers. So because that just is impossible to come back from. This is fun. It's just so funny how good they are against good teams and how crappy they are against bad teams. Well, the Red Sox are playing great. They're just 4 games back in the East while Toronto's on fire. We got the best race, though. We got the best race in baseball with Seattle just a half game behind the Astros.
I don't love that, though. I don't want to have the best race.
No, I don't either. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun down the stretch. The Astros are going to be a postseason team. They're back to 14 games over 500. Their high watermark was 20, and then they just fell apart. But they're back to 14 games over 500. And now, and they got a good team coming in here. And then the Orioles are a good team. So we got some good baseball coming your way. And with the return of Christian Javier tonight, I don't know what to expect. Just like I didn't know what to expect the other night with Eric Geddy. I'm not sure that Christian Javier is ready for this. The last time we saw Christian Javier, he was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out how bad it was with his arm. So I don't know what to expect. Again, we're not going to judge it off of one start. I hope that he has command. We saw Eric Geddy didn't have command. Mm-mm. He just didn't have his command of his pitches. So we'll find out whether or not.
Eric Geddy's not coming off an arm thing. He's coming off an inactivity thing.
Yeah, this would have been, if not for, you know, they had an opener last week, you know. So instead of doing an opener, do Christian Javier, see if he can give you 3-4 innings of, you know, and throw 60 to 70 pitches. And then pull them out of there. It's much better than having Sousa or whomever or Brian King start a game. Let's see what he gets, what he does, because you're going to need Christian Javier down the stretch. But, man, oh, man, we got to give big ups to Jason Alexander because what he did yesterday is just fantastic.
Especially with the injuries that you've had to the make-good pitchers and some of the guys who have had to, you know, who have kind of, you know, Colton Gordon just wasn't getting it done. You've had Jason Alexander was one of those guys kind of needed. I'm looking at expected win loss totals right now. The Astros are literally on their expected, based on how they've played, based on every factor. Their expected win loss record this year is 66-52, and that's what they are. So they're playing to it. Like, you know, the Mariners are 66-53. Their expected win loss is 64-55. So they've played. They've got more wins than they were expected to relative to the level of play. Same thing for Toronto Blue Jays. Expected wins, 64, but they've got 69. But you look in terms of the Astros and the playoffs, it's still relatively comfortable for the Astros to make the playoffs. Just make the playoffs. But I will say, you can't afford to have one of these stretches where all of a sudden you can't beat anyone at home and stuff like that, because it's not, you know, you're sitting okay right now, but it's not like you don't have a clear-cut, easy pathway to the playoffs. You know what I mean, John? Once you're out of there and you're starting to deal with, I mean, the Yankees aren't playing well, obviously. The Red Sox are playing pretty well, but this is a big series against the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want, because you're trying to hold ground on Seattle, but you're also holding ground theoretically on one of those, you know, on one of those wild card teams in the Red Sox. So a strong series here, and you're feeling pretty good moving forward. A bad series here, and you got some real questions developing.
Yeah. Oh well, you've had a lead for so long with the lineup. Now you got your lineup coming, looking great. You've got your rotation coming back. And now you're going to give up the lead when you had all of those guys, the Walters and the Gordons and the Gustos and the that's when you built your biggest lead. And now that you've got your guys back, this is where you're supposed to make hay. So time to make hay. All right, 713-780-3776. We got some Texans to talk and some interesting stuff from Saturday that we saw on the field. Can't take too much from it, but there was some interesting stuff with Nick Caley. We'll talk about on the other side. Right now, though, we got a little Allstate.
Allstate Windows and Siding. Really excited to tell you about Allstate Windows and Siding again, because the work that they've done for years and years has just been absolutely phenomenal. They're made for Texas weather. I've talked about this before. The windows are made here in the state of Texas, and they're made for our weather. They're wind-tested and hurricane-strength windows. And I mean here, of course, they've got the hardcore hurricane strength. It's a very special grade of window. But they have the type of wind-tested weather that makes sense for the Houston and surrounding area as well. They can sustain the weather elements, heat, rain, wind, hail, all while reducing outdoor noise and enhancing the appearance of your home. Make your home look beautiful. And it can help you save up to 40% on your energy bill. An impact-resistant siding that they have is built to stand up to Houston's toughest weather as well. Right now, they've got 30% off of windows and $2,500 off of complete siding jobs. Other companies offer deals, but family-owned and operated for over 50 years with Allstate Windows and Siding, that's a name you can trust with deals that can't be beat. And quality products. I'm talking about good products. You're not getting something that is cheaply made. You're getting a quality product at a fair price with deals just for being an ESPN 97.5 listener. Call them today and have them come out and give you an estimate on the work that needs to be done at your home. 832-204-1936. I've had work done, siding and windows. They are incredible. 832-204-1936. Special discounts for seniors, military, and first responders. It's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so let's talk Texans. And if you want to get in anything that you saw, I'm not taking much from it because there were a bunch of guys that are not going to be on the team that were on the field. But I did see some things that might be a little different. I remember we talked about CJ being under center, maybe a little bit more. It opened up the play action and mm-hmm. rollouts and bootlegs. It opened some of that up, and we saw some of that. 45% of their snaps were under center.
45%. Yeah, I don't know. You know, that was not the Ohio State way. And this is what's curious to me, is I thought they might get away from some that they do. I'm not sure. It's very helpful to be under center. It's just so many young quarterbacks now, they don't even work under center at all, not even in high school, and they don't do it in their 11 and 7-on-7s. Like, fewer and fewer quarterbacks even take snaps under center anymore at all. And so I was curious about if Nick was going to really go to more – Nick being Nick Caley was going to go to more of a – and I still don't know. If he was going to go to more of a quick, you know, an Ohio State look. I think ultimately we're going to get a blend again. I think we're going to get a blend of under center and a blend of that. Like, your play action is more effective when you work under center, because it takes longer to happen, but that's good because it's, you know, you give the defense a chance to bite even longer and linebackers to bite even longer and move even more towards the mesh point, because it takes longer to fake it at the mesh point. But yeah, I was surprised they came out, and I mean, they were under center with Davis Mills. Now, it wasn't C.J. Stroud, but with Davis Mills, they were under center quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were under center. But so some things that we liked. Ariante Ursary in his drive looked pretty damn good.
Not
actually,
bad.
He was pushing the entire line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, I could see why they really, really like him.
He looks strong, yeah.
He does look strong. The offensive line picked up some They had it was basic stuff that they were to protect him, but they did a pretty damn good job. Jalen Knoll looked pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. He had caught a bubble screen and got a first down with it, but he had a couple of catches. Mechie looked pretty good. Mechie was a go-to guy. Mechie's got work to do to make this team, but he looked pretty good doing it. Woody Marks was okay. I mean, they were okay. They were just okay running the football. Not great running the football. EJ Speed.
I think EJ Speed is going to really be a big factor this year.
Yeah, I think so too.
You see how he covers? Like, he can really run. He can run and cover. My son was in Indianapolis with the Colts just for a couple days at camp doing his scout and stuff. And so I had he called from the office. He and the GM called, and we were just talking because I know Chris and he. And I asked about EJ Speed. He goes, I love Speed. He goes, I really didn't want to lose him and definitely didn't want to lose him to Houston. He said, I still get along with him. I FaceTimed him the other day. We were talking. He goes, he's going to be really good for Houston because he can run. He can cover. He can, he can tackle. He can have an impact in the passing game. He thinks really highly of EJ Speed and his ability to have an impact for the Texans. And I kind of thought that anyway. I mean, he was an NFL starter. So I think you just picked up a starter in Christian Harris. Yeah. If he can't stay healthy, EJ Speed does the same things Christian Harris does, only he's done it longer and with more starts in the NFL. So I think he's going to end up being a really good pickup. I thought Hansen looked okay. They on the first drive with J.J. McCarthy, I didn't think the defensive line, it was not the normal starters, but the defensive line got moved around a little bit. I didn't love the defensive line. Linebackers looked okay out there. I'm kind of with you. You had so many backups. Your starting offensive line was Ursary, which was good. He needs starts. But then you had Juice Scruggs at left guard. You had Jake Andrews at center. We thought it was going to be the other way around.
Yeah, but I don't know that it means anything.
I don't think it means anything because Juice Scruggs was starting at left guard, so clearly it doesn't mean. And Ed Ingram was starting at right guard.
Right.
And Blake Fisher was starting at right tackle. And my son watched the tape of the Texans and preseason, and he's like, yeah, Fisher wasn't that great. I said,
yeah, no, Fisher, no. So many people, well, this guy came in second, and then this guy was third, so he's third on the No, they just might want to see a guy. Actually, if the earlier you come in, maybe the bigger chance that you're not going to be there because they want to see those reps and see how you do with those reps. I glean nothing. Nothing from the order guys come into games. Nothing.
Sometimes I do at some positions. It really just depends.
You never know when they're just looking at a guy and say, okay, now he's done, beat it.
Yeah, not typically with the first team reps, though. But yeah.
So Davis Mills is their starter?
No, obviously. Yeah. You're. But John, I mean, he's obviously your second teamer.
Obviously.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Juice Scruggs came in second. I mean, it might be a factor. It might be a factor. If you're starting, if your starters are out and you're the first one up, then that probably means you're next up on the depth chart.
It could, and then it could mean that, in that case, we know where Juice Scruggs is on the depth chart. I'm talking about, I'm seeing guys online, oh, look who they brought in. I'm like, no, just relax, okay? If he's on the depth chart as the fourth guy, but he comes in, second, it doesn't mean anything.
Let's see where he's coming in the next couple games.
Right. Well, or they just want, let's look, and we got to cut him. You never know. You never know in preseason. I've been following teams for so long, and you think, oh, this guy, look what, they love him, and look, he's getting so many reps. Oh, he's cut. Bye.
I will say, it's gotten harder for me to look at it because I used to, one of the things was the guys who were going to have the hardest times making the team were getting the most snaps by, it's just changed so drastically. The fourth game, there was no start. By the third game, we were seeing starters for a full half. You probably won't see a lot of starters the whole preseason. You might see them one snap. So it's really changed. The first, you'd see starters the first quarter, maybe the first two possessions in the first game. There's a lot of stars we're not going to see that we didn't see there. Then second game, you'd see them for at least a full quarter. Then third game, you'd see them for a half. That's just not, and I remember in one instance, Gary Kubiak was unhappy with the offense. He made him come back out in the third quarter and start the preseason second half. So those days are over. You don't have a third preseason game. So you got to, you do, it's a delicate balance because you need to see reps for players who are battling for the last spots on the roster at different position groups. But at the same time, you've got less snaps than ever before for players like Arianti Ursary needs to get reps. He needs to get game reps. Blake Fisher needs to get game reps. Man, you got to start to make a decision about, hey, is Blake Fisher – Blake Fisher's going to make this team, but is he going to get our quarterback hurt if we have to put him into a game? You know, I mean, because it could end up being one of those things where Trent Brown, at some point, Blake Fisher gets a magic injury and Trent Brown's on the roster.
Or like they did earlier during practice, they move Tytus Howard to the right, Ursary to the left, and bring in a different guard because we can't trust Blake.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if Cam Robinson's back and Ursary swings to both sides, right and left, and then Tytus Howard can play right tackle, and Trent Brown, you know, the patella gets good, I don't know what happens to Blake Fisher. Blake Fisher's better start playing. He didn't play well in practices from people I talked to. So this is going to be, you know, because Howard can play guard or tackle, you now Blake Fisher's on notice a little bit. I don't care that he was a second rounder. He's on a little bit of notice here.
You know who else is on notice is you with your Braxton Berrios takes.
What's wrong with Braxton Berrios takes?
Dell, how much has he hated on Braxton Berrios this offseason? I mean,
it seems disproportionate to Braxton Berrios and his impact that Lance is talking about a barely special teams player and short arms. Braxton Berrios has made a career for himself despite his limitations. You should be celebrating him, not trashing him.
I am. Read my scouting report on him.
That was long ago.
He's been in the league for 12 years.
He's a wonderful little guy.
What about the current you? Not your scouting report, not the stuff that
goes
on NFL.com that you have to
sanitize. Who's your new Braxton Berrios that y'all have?
They don't. They got a Malik Washington, a Todd Washington.
No, Miami's new Braxton Berrios that got drafted last year.
Oh, you mean?
No, they didn't get drafted because he ran like a 5-flat.
On every smallish receiver built. He's not even built the same. He's more like a running back.
He's kind of a Braxton Berrios.
Just accept that the first touchdown of the new Texans season came from Berrios.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And no one can erase that, and I'm glad.
In a new era. In the Kaylee era.
Is he going to make the team? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, he's their leading scorer. Okay?
Yeah, you just got done telling me that these preseason guys coming in and playing don't really matter.
No, this one matters. When you're making big plays like he did.
Unless they get rid of him and it's
disrespectful.
Unless Mechie is the one they get rid of and Berrios stays.
Well,
but they may be battling for that.
I don't know how you get rid of a touchdown. He's the touchdown maker.
Well, then say goodbye to Mechie.
Bye, Mechie.
Because they ain't both going to be making this team.
Bye, Mechie. Okay? We got enough donuts. Beat it. Beat it. Okay, 8:30 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We're 15 minutes away from what did you learn this weekend in one sentence. 15 minutes away. From what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? So make sure, get yours ready. All right, you learned something this weekend that you need to relay to the rest of the world. Brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. I'm bringing you Air Team right now. I'm bringing you a company that I've used them a bunch now, okay? I had them over. I wanted to check out my stuff. They're like, yeah, you waited a little too long. Because you got two that you need to replace. Okay, that's great. Well, it was as painless as possible, even though there's no such thing as painless when you're talking about replacing air conditioners. And then I had to do another one. And Darren and Dawn Curtis are just awesome. They are, you know, they've taken over the business, and now their son is going to be taking over the business. And I love family-owned businesses because they pass the philosophy down. I love, they told me, listen, have people come. It's a low, low price to check out their air conditioners. If they haven't checked out their air conditioners in a while, have them call us and we will go. It's a low, low price. Now, you're in the middle of the summer where they're replacing all kinds of air conditioners. But if you haven't done this, if you have not checked your air conditioner, please call them and let them come and take care of it for you and make sure that everything is good. Because they might find something small that's going to save you a lot of heartache in replacing, and you not have to, so you don't have to replace that air conditioner. 713-936-5346, 713-936-5346, or airteamltd.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, this is not what did you learn this weekend in one sentence, but it kind of is. But we don't have to have one sentence. Shedeur Sanders this weekend, he stole the show. Shedeur Sanders was pretty good. Man, oh, man. I'm so glad everybody protected him from that start.
I know.
Because the Browns coaching staff and front office wanted him to fail so badly.
Help Shedeur, please.
Please.
Or let him play.
Save him.
Save Shedeur. See how he does. Like every other player that comes in. Like,
oh.
You didn't need to protect him. He's not an infant. He's not your baby child in a special little baby seat that you have to, you know, and you get the little toddler things where you can't open drawers, you know, you can't open those. They're toddler proof.
They needed to child proof the Panthers for him.
Is yeah, that what that's what to people do? Are acting like. He's being set for failure. Oh, help him, please. Or don't child proof the Panthers and just let him play football. And so he did, and he did a good job. It's not necessarily a sign of things to come, or it could be a sign of things to come.
Oh, really? Because all the people that said they're setting him up for failure are going to say QB1.
There's all victory laps being run. Oh. This is the problem. You don't victory lap a bad performance, and you don't victory lap a good performance. You just take it, you absorb it. You contextualize it, and you move on to the next one. And the next one gives you more information. The next one gives you more information. But he did a good job. I mean, he had a good game, you know, 14 to 23. Well, interestingly enough, ESPN's talking about this now. I did not expect that to be the case.
Oh, my God.
But 14 to 23 with two touchdowns. So they are actually talking about
what? ESPN's Shedeur. Talking
yeah,
about Shedeur?
Yeah, apparently they're going to talk about him.
Well.
But it was like there was the Shedeur wars on. He had a 4th-and-1 where he scrambled and lost 26, which is awful. And then I got text messages. This is the Shedeur experience. This is what all these losers are crying about. I'm like, just can you let the game play out and stop? Like, I just can't. I can't do this personally. Where, like, this isn't my life. Where I care where one player fails or succeeds, so I can be happy. That's just. I don't know how people live like this, honestly. I don't know how they can be this miserable.
Well, so I have seen a couple of reports that they are retiring his jersey now in Cleveland.
Okay.
Because of his preseason debut performance. So congratulations to Shedeur. He got another jersey retired. So Mary Kay Cabot put this out there. Why hasn't he gotten any first-team reps? Because he's had to get up to speed in all aspects of the pre-snap process, including relaying plays in the huddle, identifying the defense, sliding the protections, directing the motions, making adjustments. From snap to throw, he's been mostly dynamite, save for the times he's reverted to the habit of retreating under duress like he did and lost 26 yards.
Look, man, that's what he does. This is none of this so far has been, to me, he was clearly the second-best quarterback. I had Cam Ward as the best of the 63s, which is like an early second grade typically, which means you're going to be a first. Then Shedeur's at the bottom of the 63s. And then I don't think I had anyone even in the 62s. I think the rest of them, which was average starters, I think after that, everything went to high-end backup. Quinn Ewers, Taylor Shuck. So, to me, these are the two. I mean, those are the two guys.
Well, he's got the two. We know he's got the two.
Think he actually didn't strike me as a guy who couldn't process when I watched tape. Like,
well,
Shedeur has it, now he does go backwards a lot, and so does Cam Ward. And Dale knows that Cam Ward will go backwards too.
Mary Kay Cabot points this out. The reason Gabriel had 6 years of college, while Sanders has had 6 offensive coordinators. The scheme, terminology, and concepts weren't necessarily overhauled by all of them. She goes on to say, he worked with the third and fourth teamers on the opposite field where the first and second teamers were working.
Mm-hmm.
And during some of those times, Stefanski stood directly behind Sanders, listening to him calling the play and gauging his vision. And you don't see a head coach working with a fourth team quarterback while the first teamers are on the other field.
That whole setup to fail. So
I mean,
it's so disingenuous for Lewis Riddick to say that, for Stephen A. Smith to say it. They're not even at the, they're not even at camp. You just mentioned it. They're not even there actually contextualizing what's happening. For the head coach to be there directly with a quarterback who's a quote unquote fourth string, which he's not really in real life. I mean, he's set up for real life. Real life is he may be fourth on the depth chart, but he's behind two guys. He's behind Flacco and Pickett. And at some point this year, they could end up going to Shador Sanders.
I think he may play.
But let's play, because what's going to happen now is if he has a bad second game, if he plays, then this is going to turn into the battle of, I told you losers, he sucks, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Preseason games, man. You told me you don't take anything. I don't take anything from preseason games either. Young quarterbacks, though, I want to see him look good.
Yeah.
I don't want to see young quarterbacks look bad.
Absolutely.
And he looked good.
Well,
it's just all the extra stuff I don't really care for. But
well, how bad do you feel that Jackson Dart had a really nice debut? I bet you feel bad because of all the derogatory things you said about him.
No. Actually, Jackson Dart was the guy that I had as the next quarterback up. No, I think I had him actually behind Quinn Ewers. But regardless, Jackson Dart to me.
How'd Quinn Ewers look great?
Set up to fail. That's how I defend Quinn Ewers. He was set up to fail. You know, the third string quarterback playing against third stringers with third string offensive line, set up to fail. Or is that how just football works in the preseason?
Yeah. Usually
he struggled. He didn't handle pressure well, didn't see it, and then when he did get pressured, hold on to the football.
That's the Quinn Ewers experience now. Yep. You're going to get some of that. Yep. I don't know that he's the biggest brain surgeon out there on the field. Not exactly playing chess.
I felt bad for Graham Mertz too. I mean, the one ball was tipped and in the air.
He looked. It was over. It was.
He
too
did
much
not
for him.
Look. I mean,
and they say he's looked pretty good at camp, but this is a little different.
Keaton, I guess it's Keaton, not Keaton. Keaton Slovis looked pretty good as a third teamer.
Yeah,
not bad.
Well,
yeah.
Graham Mertz.
I mean, he's going to be. He at least moved the ball. He had some nice passes. I mean, a lot of quick stuff. As opposed to standing there in the pocket being unsure, he got rid of the ball early. He looked okay.
I told you the rumor, didn't I? That I got from. I think I told you the rumor. I think I said it on the air. I may not have said it on the air, but and I don't know if you had moved. You had already moved, so I don't know if I told you this in person. But the rumor is from Quinn Ewers' camp that Ewers was going to be the Texans' pick, and then C.J. Stroud's like, nah. They asked CJ about him. He didn't give a blessing, and they went Graham Mertz. But it could have been because
it's 6-1.
Well, and why I say that is not because he's like afraid for his job, but you know, I don't know. Maybe he knew. Hey, you spent some time with this guy. What do you think about having? Because you got to remember, he's a backup, so you got to feel comfortable that a backup has your back in terms of what he sees on the field and all that stuff. A backup has a very specific role, and so I'm just telling you. Not that it means anything because it was a late-round pick, but I thought that it would have been a pretty decent late-round pick if you're looking for a quarterback that maybe you want to develop because Davis Mills is going to – well, although you just gave Davis Mills another contract. But if you're going to draft a quarterback, I would have definitely thought it would have been Quinn Ewers over Graham Mertz. But if C.J. Stroud said, nah, not giving his blessing, I guess that kind of makes sense. Graham Mertz ain't going to make this team. No. I doubt Slovis makes this team. They'll probably just roll with two.
Oh, I don't know. I think he'll probably go.
Why do you want to keep three quarterbacks when you can just – you'll just put one of them on the practice squad? You don't want to keep them on the roster.
Yeah, I guess, unless you're worried about
somebody. You need an extra wide receiver. You need an extra cornerback. You need an extra safety right now. Yeah. What's a third quarterback going to do for you? Just throw them on a practice squad.
Yeah,
and probably your guy Braxton Berrios can probably just run quarterback too.
Probably.
He did play running back in some Wildcat quarterback in high school. So
yeah, so there you go.
There,
your prediction came true.
There you have it.
How about this? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. That's next. So you learned something this weekend, and I learned something this weekend, and I'll share that with you. It has nothing to do with sports. So if it doesn't have to do with sports, whatever it is, you learned something this weekend about your kids, about your boss, about your wife, about your girlfriend or both, whatever it is. You will learn it this weekend, 713-780-3776. Right now, I learned something about Coors Light. We went to the, it was pretty cool. It was actually really cool. I'd never been to a presidential library before. So yesterday we went to the Reagan Library and went to, they've got a little cafe there. And sure enough, there's one American beer that they were selling. They had Modelo and they had Coors Light. And so which do you think everybody was choosing? Everybody's out there with Coors Lights at this cafe. And, you know, a little break. You need a beer in between. Well, you go. We saw the Dead Sea Scrolls, and then we went to the Reagan Library. And in between, you a little stop, a little snack, a little beer. Yep, Coors Light. I was so proud. And he's my favorite president now. President Reagan's my favorite. Because before he died, he probably said, make sure that we have Coors Light. I want to make sure, Americans, that we have Coors Lights when they come to my library. That's what I want to make sure of. And I was so proud of that president. I couldn't be prouder of President Reagan than I am right now. So if you're somebody, and everybody was happy there. You're looking for cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. You're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, a unique beer that could actually tell you when it's cold. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. So, 713-780-3776. You learned something this weekend that you would like to share with all of us. And I also did. So, when somebody gets off, you can get in. 713-780-3776. The number to call in. You learn something. You get one sentence, and that's it.
I'm Lance's watching all 22, and I learned that Blake Fisher looks like he should have been undrafted. Holy crap, is he bad?
Yeah. Okay. Wow. You got one sentence. You still.
I did make my daughter
sentences.
Cry just by yelling at AT&T. I learned.
See,
that.
you just used more than one sentence.
Well, that's two different things.
I learned that.
Yeah, you did three different things. Three different things. You said, "Holy crap, was he bad?" That was two sentences. But okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so do you know when your car door, it's got little place on the bottom of it where you can put stuff? I learned this weekend that if your wife finds a Tampax advertisement or coupon or whatever it was in the passenger door of your car, that she'll have questions for you.
Okay, well, save that for 8 o'clock because we're not done with that one. We're not finished just yet.
All right. Yeah, we're not finished just yet. 713-780-3776. Dell, did you learn anything this weekend?
No, really the weekend is not for learning, I've determined. I don't want to learn anything. I want to go into a coma.
Veg?
And just sit there, not learn anything, watch some dumbass TV. And get ready for the week. But I have learned, as always, that people love this segment. We got a full board.
Okay.
So let's go to Keith. Keith, what have you learned?
I learned this weekend that despite playing 162 PGA Tour events, Tommy Fleetwood is still searching for that first victory.
First win. And he had a two-stroke lead with three to play. And he didn't even get in a playoff. Holy crap, poor Tommy. Hate that for him. Hate that. Who's next?
We move to David. David, what have you learned?
Good morning, gentlemen. I learned that the longest field goal made in any football league in history is not recorded on the record books.
Yep.
70-yard kick by a kid from Arkansas. Corey Little?
70 yards. Holy crap.
Is that his name, Corey Little?
It's a preseason game. Is that it? Yeah. It's got
I think it's Cam Little.
Yeah,
it's Cam Little.
Cam Little?
Yeah, a 70-yard. Oh, I wrote him up. I didn't even realize I wrote him up.
Did you say strong? I hope you didn't say he's got a weak leg.
Oh, God, please don't let me say he had a weak leg. I said generates good velocity, yeah.
70-yard velocity?
You I said he has that. The leg strength for the league and just needs to become more automatic on kicks from 40 to 49 yards, which he was 2 for 2 on those.
Okay.
Made 64% of his kicks from beyond 50, including a 56-yarder.
Wow.
So, yeah. So he hit one, you know, 14 yards further than his career long of 56.
That's great.
And he said, because Scott Hansen was like, please, Cam, do that during, I guess, when it counts, so I can do it on NFL Red Zone. He goes, don't worry, I got more in me. He pretty much said to anyone who was worried about him not setting the record, the real one, don't worry about it. I got more.
That man's
I got
a field more. Goal range at the 50.
How about that?
Apparently, we'll see if Liam Cohen has the, you know.
The stones, to go for it
when it matters. Let's move to Peter. Peter, what have you learned?
Good morning, everyone. I learned that the Yankees' long-lost daddy returned home over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He's not long lost. Every time he goes there,
he went out for cigarettes and came back.
No, he didn't go out for cigarettes. He just
finally
goes on
came back.
He just goes on business trips. He's got another family. He and the mom have separated. He just goes on business.
Oh, I don't know. He's got another family. He's got two lives.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and one
that's
of
true.
Them
he has
old.
A home and yeah, he has a family. He has a house in Houston and a house in New York.
And a house in New York.
That's true.
That's right. He owns both of them. He owns both those stadiums. Who's next?
Chris on the north side. Chris, what have you learned?
Chris, what up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I learned that when it's guys' night out, it's very important that you explain to your wife that raw dogging it all night with the boys only means you're the designated driver.
Oh.
See, I wouldn't have used that term.
Yeah, raw dogging might have been the... Right.
Designated driver is a phrase.
Lance, now everybody's using raw dogging it. For everything.
Well, okay. That's not supposed to be used, but...
No, that's... No, he
actually, no. Not drinking is raw dog. Yeah, because John raw dogs Lent.
I did raw dog Lent.
So I guess technically, yeah, you do have to explain that to your wife. Hey, I'm going to go... I'm going to be raw dogging it tonight. Excuse me?
Who's next, Del?
We go to Ocho. Ocho, what have you learned?
Yeah, I learned that former North Shore defensive back Upton Stout could be a starter this year for the Niners as a rookie.
Hmm. Here you go.
Did you write him up, Lance?
Ocho learned stuff.
I did. He was a highly coveted slot corner. He's just a little short, but he's a little small. But man, football, the NFL teams love that guy. Came out of, I think, Western Kentucky.
All right, let's go to Elliot. Elliot, what have you learned?
Morning, guys. I learned that I'm not going to be allowed to drink alcohol for the rest of the year.
Oh man. I kind of want to know what happened there.
Wow. You learned that you're not going to be...
Did he make a bet with somebody?
Allowed to drink alcohol for the rest of the year.
If Altuve hits two home runs, I won't drink the rest of the year.
Wow.
If Correa gets another game with multiple hits, if Jason Alexander wins this one against Max Fried, I won't drink alcohol for the rest of the year.
Or... You need to stop, otherwise you're going to have a real problem health-wise.
Okay, could have been something liver-related, yep. That's true.
Yeah. That's probably more likely
could have been
I bet on Jason Alexander.
Could have been that, yeah, I know.
So, good luck, Ellie. I'm sorry to hear that for you. That just is awful. I don't know that there's a sentence worse, okay? I mean... You're in non-alcohol prison like Dell is. That's awful.
It's not a prison if you volunteer to go.
It is kind of.
It's more like a sanctuary. Let's move to... We'll go to Tony from Friendswood. What have you learned?
I learned this weekend that the Astros raw-dogged the Yankees, and Altuve is still their daddy. Shout out to my boy Cobra, by the way.
Cobra.
Cobra got a loss in his jiu-jitsu match last night. Didn't go till 9, but it was just by decision. He actually did really well against a grown man. It was probably a tie.
Cobra took one on the chin.
It's not Cobra. It's Snacks.
That would be a great name for a fighter, Cobra.
He's not even trying to rebrand now. He did this back in like third grade.
No. He's
fourth
he's,
grade.
He's Cobra.
He's Cobra to us.
To us.
Apparently,
he'll always be Cobra.
He came out to Shook Ones by Mobb Deep in his walkout music.
Throwback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're the Yankees' daddies. There's no question.
Yeah.
So we got two more before we wrap it up. Let's, unlike raw dogging, let's get to.
They raw dogged him.
Well, we'll wrap it up. Let's get to other Eric. What have you learned?
What I learned was that fourth quarter roughing the passer call was an abomination to the game. And if that's the way the season is going to be called, this is going to be hard to watch.
Yeah.
And it was a long sentence, but a sentence nonetheless.
It was. It was a run-on, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is going to be. I mean, that was terrible. He just barely grazed his face mask. I mean, come on. Is that the letter of the. I mean, if you're going by the letter of the law, okay. But goodness gracious, that's I hope that's not going to be the case.
Protect all quarterbacks.
Barely scrape the quarterback's face mask. That's not a penalty. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Del. Who's last?
JP. What have you learned?
France. JP France.
No, it's not him.
Morning. I learned that the Astros medical staff also works. For the Houston Texans.
Oh, man.
In the opposite way.
But actually.
They.
Well, actually, yeah, really.
They underpromise and overproduce?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or
right.
Overdeliver?
It's the exact opposite, but actually.
What are y'all referring to?
We're referring to C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Oh, yeah. But those are people who just went the wrong direction with that. This out for the year stuff that went too far. That was too quick.
Sources told. Who were the sources?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that shut
it's
down.
It's the exact opposite of the Astros.
But they shut
the Astros
down
go,
quick.
Oh, no, he's got a scratch, and he's out for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out, actually. We don't know. We have to wait for him to come back before
yeah,
we
Yeah, but we know
go.
he's not done for the year. And actually, Schefter said that later in that same day, like, they avoided worst-case scenario. So, yeah, no, it'll be good to have him back.
Yeah. Whenever that is.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Aaron Wilson. He probably hates every time there's a report out.
Well, and Wilson is usually pretty good.
Well, yeah, the reporters who cover the team, they smelled the blood in the water. They made everyone aware how wrong that first report was.
Oh, no, there's nothing reporters love more than being able to say, I've got the real story.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Don't trust
them. Or contrary to earlier reports.
Contrary to earlier reports.
Yes.
That's the gold. We got a few more. You want to get a few
no,
more?
No, those are all X'd out.
Oh, they are? Okay.
They've already been on the air.
Okay. All right. Hey, you guys did great. Thank you, Game Day Men's Health. Just awesome, awesome, awesome. That's so much fun. We appreciate you guys. You guys like to play the game. We're going to play it again on Friday. What did you learn this week on the show? In one sentence. We play that Friday mornings at 9:30. So make sure that you're here after you learn something on the show. Last week, apparently you learned about raw dogging because that carried over to this week.
Mm-hmm.
And now we'll see what we learned this week on the show that you can talk about Friday morning, 9:30. So thank you, Game Day Men's Health. We appreciate you. And thank you, Texas Card House, for being the best damn poker room in this city. Love Texas Card House. I love poker, and I love it with a safe environment, which it is. I love having the big parking lot, lit parking lot, where you feel safe walking out. Because I've walked out of a few card games in my life that I'm like, it doesn't feel great. But at Texas Card House, both their locations in the city of Houston, Green Ridge and Westheimer, and in Spring Cypress up by 45, huge parking lots. Security right there in the building. You get wanded when you walk in. You can feel, you feel really, really good, and you feel safe being at Texas Card House, which is kind of a big deal. And then the bar is open till 2. It's open for card. Right now, you can go to Texas Card House, and there's a game going on, okay? Because it's open 24/7, and they got games all the time. Whether you like to play tournaments, because they got tournaments, great tournaments. Great tournaments with low buy-ins and high guarantees, and then you got cash games as well going on all the time. So you're looking for the best place to get your cards on. You can also get your Hijack Poker app and play against people from the state of Texas, all over the state of Texas, and Texas only. and not worry about bots or anything else. You're looking for poker? TexasCardHouse.com. That's TexasCardHouse.com.